teaching time this morning, and so you guys are probably sick of hearing from me on the teaching times. You know, you guys, week in and week out, oh, it's Pastor Brad again. What's he going to say this week? So we brought in some real experts this morning, and so I'm going to call actually on my parents to come up and speak on a topic of conflict and conflict in marriage and navigating that. You can also see maybe where I get some of my bad habits from, or maybe my good habits from. I don't know. But it's exciting to have you guys here. And we're going to do this more of an interview style format and kind of go back and forth a little bit on some topics related to navigating, surviving and thriving, navigating conflict in marriage together. So let's jump in. Why don't we have you guys start by just telling us a little bit about yourselves. And please don't include any stories that embarrass or indict me in any way when you give your history. You'll just keep it to things that are altogether positive. And there you go. All right. So tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, we have lots of stories on Brad. So how many do you want to hear? No.
That would actually be his younger brother.
That's right. Well, we have four children, and we have just enjoyed parenting so much over the years, and we are empty nesters as of 5 years ago, and we moved out to Vancouver Island, and I'm a pastor at a church there with three other pastors, and we just love what we're doing. And we're going to share today a little bit about some of our stories and some of the incidences we came into on conflict. And that little clip you saw there, that was quite interesting. That's not us, but I think it's a lot our daughter.
She's a snorer.
Well, one of the things that you guys do on the staff at your church currently is work with a lot of couples and work with marriages in particular, and seeing marriages both in all states, in crisis state, and also working on with people whose marriages are strong but who want to increase that focus. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that look like? What are some of the things that you're engaged with? And then how also, maybe take us back a little bit, how did you come to that? What is it that excites you about that role, or what is it in your own personal journey that kind of brought you to this place where you really feel a focus and an excitement around that area?
Well, we feel blessed to be able to work with marriages in all stages, whether it's pre-marriage or marriages that are in difficulty. And we have a church of 800, so we have a lot of people coming through our doors at various stages in their lives. And we feel that God has called us into that ministry because of the problems we went through and what the issues that we learned and how we work through them. We're often using, as a couple, Colleen helps me in a lot of marriage counseling, some of the tools that we were taught to get out of our troubles. And so we just keep peeling out those issues and sharing personal experiences. We use Brad's name all the time. No, we don't.
Well, makes sense. She's got a great marriage. So why don't you take us back a little bit then in time. I mean, we've talked about and referenced it a little bit, that there was a time when you guys yourselves were in a situation that was in crisis and in some significant conflict. So take us back in that time frame in your marriage. Talk a little bit about what did that look like, what were some of the experiences that even led up to that, and then we'll talk about some of the things that you learned as a result of walking through that as a couple.
Well, basically, you can either be a fighter or a flighter when you're dealing with conflict, and I was a major flighter. And I was like, I had this huge garbage bag, and I just kept stuffing everything in it because I didn't want to deal with anything. And so basically, we were about as far apart as the Grand Canyon could be. Greg's over on that side, and I'm over on this side. And if
and
he
was
up
after
there,
21 years of marriage.
21 years of marriage. And we were okay, really quite okay up until then, except we'd kind of developed some bad patterns. But if Greg was upstairs, literally, I would purposely be downstairs, and if he was at home, then I would try and be out, and I just didn't want to be around him, just didn't like him. And it was basically because we didn't deal with anything. We didn't deal with conflict for a long time in our marriage.
So what happened is that I was right in the middle of going to Bible school, and with the stress of full-time studies, managing a family, and part-time work, and a relationship, I was just stressed out so much that I remember going to one of my professors and saying, life is just, I'm at the brink of a disaster here, and I need some help. And it was that turning point that I phoned a counselor, and that's something I had never done or thought of doing. And I think that was the most scary call I ever made. But and I can remember the phone booth I was in when I made that call. We called a counselor, and fortunately the lady that received the call, she knew that when a man calls, she needs to book him and her in right away. And so that the next day, Carl and I were able to go.
Because it's usually the women who feel the,
So we went to a counselor, and fortunately it was a pastor-to-pastor counselor. And he kind of asked me all sorts of questions. I took Colleen with me, and he kind of, in the first hour, figured out where some of our issues were. And we started rebuilding from that point on.
So here you are, you're in Bible college, and we all know that in Bible college you're supposed to have it all together, and you're supposed to have everything kind of in a row, and but your life is kind of falling apart, and inside things are happening. You've got a good front on. How did that look? What did it? How did it make you feel? What was that bringing up kind of inside of you at that time?
Well, I kind of felt like it was a car going down the road with unbalanced wheels, and you know, you get that shaking and shimmying. Well, my life was unbalanced, and I needed some way to balance it, so I felt that this counselor maybe had some answers to help us and me in particular. So put our lives under a microscope and determine where some of the issues are, and then start working methodically on getting some of those issues handled.
And for me, I was basically very lonely and very sad, and I used to sit in the bathroom and read the Psalms and cry. And I had no way, any idea of how to fix this thing. I felt like I'd gone down this avenue, that avenue, this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da to try to figure out how to help fix this thing, this marriage that was just so so sad and lonely. And I can remember it was a Saturday morning, I said to the Lord one day, I said, I don't have any idea what to do, and I don't have any more avenues to go down. And I said, I just need your help.
Again, for those who are more familiar with maybe a 12-step type program, that would be one of the first steps in that stage, is just recognizing and affirming that you're powerless to help yourself.
Right on.
And then talking about taking a ruthless or fearless moral inventory would be another phrase that might be able to be borrowed from that. So in that counseling process, what did that look like? What were some of the patterns maybe that you developed that people began to point out to you? And you said that right away the counselor began to work with you and kind of identify maybe some of the stuffing was one thing that you began to recognize. What were some other things that began to come up in that?
One of the patterns I went into was reactive, or fix-it, Mr. Fix-It. And
well, none of the guys know about that at all. No.
So he helped me realize that I just have to understand. I have to listen to Colleen's heart and understand where she's at, and not be able to rush in with a Band-Aid or a suture to help, but to listen, and also to listen to my own heart, too, which was, from a feeling standpoint as a man, I really wasn't in touch with my feelings, so I needed to get touch with my feelings. And fortunately we were given a pamphlet by a couple down the street that kind of knew that things were rocky in our lives, because we'd shared a few things, or Colleen had shared a few things, and they gave us a pamphlet called Retrovi, and Retrovi means rediscover, and they have one a year here in Vancouver. We recommend some couples to come to this from the island, and what I learned over that weekend was to understand that feelings are neither right nor wrong, but they just are. And that was just one of many things from different speakers I heard that weekend.
Then we went to counseling, and the counselor that we went to, we called him Dr. Forgiveness. And he said to me, Colleen, you think this is a molehill that you're dealing with, but it's actually a mountain. And so what we had done, and particularly me, is, well, we didn't really know how to deal with conflict, and we came with from families who didn't deal with conflict very well either. I don't know how many of you know how to deal with conflict, but not a lot do. But it's like kind of stuffing things under the carpet, and the more you stuff under, the bigger the mountain gets. So there was a pretty big mountain. And I went away to a weekend conference one time, and it was talking about conflict. And this is what they taught us that we usually do if somebody comes to talk to us about something that they don't like. We rationalize, we justify, we deny it's really ever happened, We make ourselves right. We make the other person wrong, and then we get very nasty. And we were quite good at that. And so we had to certainly learn a whole new way of communicating. And what we learned through Retrovi is to, it's all about your feelings. And they gave us a feelings list, and there's a whole page of feelings that are positive on one side, and then another whole page on the other side that are all negative or unpleasant feelings. And when we went to Retrovi, we basically felt all of the unpleasant feelings. And it was a way of teaching us how to communicate by writing to each other. So we would have our own journals, and we would write down our feelings, and then we would swap books, and then we would find out how each other was feeling and how things were going on with each other, because remember, we weren't very good at talking to each other about that kind of stuff. So writing was a real wonderful key and tool for us.
They call that a 10 and 10. So you write for 10 and then talk for 10. And that's probably the best 20 minutes of investment I've ever made in my life. Mm-hmm. To be able to not only get a hold of my own feelings, but be able to read how Colleen is feeling on the situation and then talk about it. Mm-hmm. And just the speakers the other night, the Rosbergs, said that if you have 10 minutes investment each day in your relationship, you will have a good marriage. But if you invest 20 minutes of speaking daily into your relationship, you will have a great marriage. 20 minutes a day, that's not much.
Not only head to head, but heart to heart.
So talk about then that process as you engage with that, and how has that opened up that conversation of forgiveness? You talked about that was something that the counselor had begun to hone in on and began to kind of isolate. What was that journey like, kind of unpacking that from there?
Well, the crises that I had in my life of learning about forgiveness was we just felt that we needed a breather. And fortunately, one of the fellows in our church, he had to go down to New York City to look after his aging parents from a crisis standpoint. So he had two teenage boys at home, and I said, well, I'll step in and I'll look after the home while he's gone. And he had a book laying on his table, and it was called Rekindled. And so I picked that up and looked at it, and through the weekend I read that book, and it changed my life. It really showed me, through the character in that book, how I was treating Colleen. And the whole process towards the end of that book led to forgiveness. And when we sat down and talked to Dr. Rennie about forgiveness, it took a number of counseling sessions to really get us to learn. Here we've been Christians for 18 years, I think it was, the whole real process of forgiveness, of asking and appropriating forgiveness from one another. And that revolutionized our relationship, of adding God into the equation and seeking His grace to come upon me, to ask Colleen if she'd be willing to see it in her heart to offer forgiveness for what I had done and how I had treated her. And that offer and seeking and offering forgiveness was a key in our relationship.
What other parts you referenced a little bit about, you know, we were Christians for a long time, but that didn't sort of automatically translate itself into a healthy and strong and vibrant marriage. What part would you say that your faith plays in your marriage and your relationship with God plays in your marriage?
Well, I think if we didn't know the Lord, I don't know where we would be right now. We would probably still be quite a mess. But with the Lord's grace and help, He has so... all the mountain stuff, we just brought it down to level. And so now we can talk, and now we're empty nesters. Now we love being with each other. I'm not running away from this guy all the time. And he is just amazing. And I think it is because of becoming a Christian, he shines the light on your stuff that you have to deal with. And without the Lord, I don't know if that happens. I think we may have stayed like that till, I don't know if we would have ever left, maybe, but I was pretty dead. I would call myself dead on the vine.
Kind of a track back is we came to Christ 7 years into our marriage. Brad was 2, I believe, and we're first-generation Christians, and we were learning about the love of God and biblical context in our lives, but it was how to parent, how to be out there, how to be a Christian businessman. Really, we weren't putting into, or I wasn't putting into effect, our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't praying together.
And
Colleen
we
had a different prayer style.
Last on each other's list, yeah.
So we learned that the connection that we have together with God, we can pray together. And that served a real part of the dynamite in our life to re-spark our relationship. God entering our lives together, being in the midst of it.
Well, let's talk about a few of those principles then from the scriptures. The Bible has a lot to say about marriage, has a lot to say about handling and working through conflict, not just in a marriage relationship, but in all senses as well. I mean, each one of us is going to be relating to other people and probably coming into conflict with people at certain times. But as you look through the scriptures, what are some of the ones that stand out to you guys as you think about these ideas about biblical principles that would apply to conflict in marriage together? And talk about some of the scriptures and what were those things. He said it was kind of like we had our marriage little life over here and then our spiritual life, which we were trying to figure out how did that relate to the rest of the parts, the parenting, the business, mm-hmm. all of those things. So how do those, what are some of the things that you felt like the scriptures have given voice to around this topic of conflict in marriage?
I'd say the number one would be that unity and oneness in Christ, that two shall become one. And a great scripture that we use is Ephesians 5:32-33 says, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so that whole aspect of love and respect, we had to learn that, how we identify to one another, how I am to love my wife as the church and as the bride, and how she is to learn to respect me. And if there's no love, there's no respect. And that book, Love and Respect, we highly recommend that is a key component in that whole love and respect cycle in one another's life, two becoming one.
You talked a little bit about forgiveness being a key component as well, and learning and understanding that. Are there some scriptures that you can think about that would speak to that?
Well, we used to teach the children in our family devotion, and I remember...
Yeah, this is where I get all my Sunday school songs from. You guys all mock me for when I hold up my Sunday school songs. This is another Sunday school song that I learned at home. Yeah.
Ephesians 4:32, and it talks about...
One to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
So it's getting...
Does anybody else know that song? Hey, Tamara knows that one. See, I feel very lonely here because I'm like the only one that knows some of these Sunday school songs that apparently were widespread in our church, but
yeah, right.
Nobody
apparently
else seems
not.
To know.
Well, Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So the whole aspect of forgiving me, what Christ did for me, and the attitude that I should be having towards my wife in forgiving her, and I am to, as it says, taking off in Ephesians 4, the bitterness, the anger, the rage, the harsh words, and slander, and all types of, it's a change in lifestyle that I have to look at. What am I doing to harm the relationship? What do I have to do to encourage and strengthen our relationship together? And it's only myself that I can change. I can't change Colleen. So if I change my behavior and my actions and my thoughts and appropriate forgiveness and ask for forgiveness and seek forgiveness when it's needed, then our relationship is going to shine and be an example of Christ.
Other places in the scripture, it talks a little bit about not just on the positive side, but a little bit on the negative side, a few things that can hinder your relationship with your spouse very explicitly. Think of any scriptures that would speak to that.
Well, 1 Peter 3:7 says, in the same way, husbands, give honor to your wives and treat your wife with understanding as you live together. And how many of you realize that men and women are so different? I mean, like, what's that book? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. But we're basically so different. And so we have to learn how to understand each other and to live together. And then it goes on to say, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. And treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. And basically, we were so far apart, and Greg wasn't understanding me, and vice versa. And if I was trying to talk to him about things that bothered me and he'd get upset with me and like, I don't want to hear about that, then that didn't go over too well. So it's important to learn how each of you are so different from each other.
Which is kind of that natural give and take in a relationship.
Yeah.
And some people will talk about, well, marriage is kind of a 50-50. Each person kind of puts their 50% on the table and the other person kind of meets them halfway. But I've heard you guys talk about before, it's not really 50-50. Marriage is like 100%, 100%. Each person is sacrificing. Each person is giving. Can you think about some scriptural principles that would speak into that and undergird that from a biblical perspective?
Well, most of us are selfish. All of us are selfish.
And most of us, yeah. All of us.
And we don't need to be told that or taught that. If any of you have children, you know as soon as they're around, they are selfish. And we are all selfish. We all want our own way. And that's what causes fights and arguments and quarrels. And I want it my way. No, I want it my way. Well, you should see it my way. And we all have our own set of glasses on that see it our own way. So I like to see it like this. If the husband's here and the wife is here and you can't agree on something, then each of you should try and come here to find this middle road, because that's when the two become one. And to try and agree on things, because the Bible say when two agree, then it shall be done. Like if you can't agree on something, then not much is going to happen. We have an example of that for when we were trying to buy a car. Greg wanted that kind of car and I didn't, and I wanted this kind of car and Greg didn't. And so we couldn't agree, so we got no car. So we just waited and waited, and finally we both came to here and agreed on this car, and it was like, that's the one. So we went and got that car. So that's kind of an example of how it works.
It's really sacrificing that need to have your own way and being able to give that up. I think about James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says, what's causing fights and quarrels among you? Well, there's not a mystery there. Don't they come from the evil desires that are at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and even kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have. You can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only that which will give you pleasure. And you want only the things that are going to feed into that selfishness and that desire for the things that we have. So, one of our values here as a church is authenticity. So we're going to make you tell a story about a real practical example of how.
Come on,
you
didn't tell us we're going to do that.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are speaking this morning. I'm just facilitating. So it's your story. You've got to come up with something that. Give us a practical example that you can think of, and maybe tease it out for us a little more even than the car illustration. Say, okay, here's what happened. You know, we each kind of were engaged in this conflict, and we kind of had to really come up with a real either solution, or maybe it's still ongoing. I don't know.
Well, I think we'll share an example. I think a lot of you in this community, when you're in new homes or renovating or whatever, you can identify with this one. It's home renovations, and the result of this is that I'm no longer going to Home Depot or Rona to look at the do-it-yourself projects. I have decided that I'm going to hire a contractor.
He's going to the Yellow Pages, he said.
The Yellow Pages is my answer.
All right, so
we're
going to
share a story about the flooring.
Yeah.
The flooring episode. We have, we're in a strata condo kind of a place, and it's 14 years old, and the front area rug is kind of looking threadbare. So we thought, well, why don't we put some hardwood in? We talked about lino and all the different, so we agreed on hardwood. Hardwood was the answer. So I found a friend that, you guys can identify this, find a friend that knows what to do. So you bring the friend in. So we attacked this project. And
by the way, we chose the hardwood very easily, exactly the same. We thought, we both like this. Perfect,
okay,
let's go for it.
Things are going good here. So Mike and I tore up the carpet. We put the hardwood down. It took 3 days. And figured, okay, we're just about finished this project. I'll let you share the rest of the story.
So it took 3 days to do the whole entranceway and the hallway. Beautiful. okay, now we need edging to go from the wood to the lino or to the carpet or to the bathroom or the living room or whatever. So now we're trying to decide on what kind of edging to put on this thing. So we're bringing...
Wouldn't believe how many styles of edging are out there.
And not only that, some are wood, some are laminate, some are this wide, some are that. So anyway, we're keeping on bringing stuff home to try and, oh, this one looks okay. Oh, that one's okay. No, I don't like that one. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So my perspective is, to not only choose, but to get it done. And Greg's perspective was?
Well, there's lots of different kinds, and I'm just going to wait for Colleen to decide which she wants.
But so your perspective was, well, I'm totally enjoying doing this. I'm just enjoying figuring out how to cut this little thing, and, you know, just no problem. This is not a worry. I don't have much time to do it. When I have time, I'll get at it. So
we had 11 openings to do. 11 edges to do.
Yeah. So anyway,
it didn't take 11 weeks, folks.
I'm trying very hard to be very patient, and the stuffer that I am, just keep your mouth shut, Carl. This is not that important. Just let it go. Just, you know, deal with it. It's not that big of a thing. Well, by the time a month was gone, I'm thinking, you know, my heart is just not feeling very good inside here. I think we better deal with this. So we go out for lunch, and when we go out for lunch, I said, I'd like to, we have a certain tool in our toolbox called carefrontation, and it's because you care, you're going to confront. And so anyway, there's steps, and we did our journaling and writing in our journal kind of thing. So I said to Greg, I'd like to do a carefrontation while we're having lunch about the flooring. He said, okay, fine. So here's me trying to stuff all this. He's perfectly fine with it, but I am not fine with it at all. So then anyway, we did our steps. We'll go through them with you. And
yeah, let's do that, actually, because a lot of people have an idea that if there is an absence of conflict in our marriage relationship or in a particular friendship or whatever that looks like, that, hey, we must be okay. But your experience and talking through your personality type as well is that there could be an incredible amount of conflict in there that's built up over time, but that it may not be have a venue to be released. And so this is sort of a tool, and one thing we want to talk about is help you build a little bit of a toolkit for your own relationships and your own marriage. So why don't you walk us through this is the carefrontation management that you guys have kind of built into your relationship. So what are the different steps, and help us understand how does that lead through the process of conflict discussion and resolution?
And before we start, I think you know in your heart when you've got conflict that needs to be dealt with. Like, I was still trying to stuff this thing, but it was still there. And so when we had our lunch and went through this, poof, was gone. Gone. So you really have, as conflicts come along, whether it's big or little, you really have to deal with them one at a time. And then your heart is okay, because if you build up all kinds of stuff, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, before you know, you're not going to like your spouse. You're going to be resenting, and then you bring up stuff. And so it's important to deal with conflict. So the first step is you focus on the issue. You narrow it down to a specific topic. So ours was flooring. And then you form a question around that, which includes your feelings. So our example was, so how do you feel about dealing with the flooring? He was fine, I was not fine.
So what we are to do is to understand how each other looks at the same situation or the same problem or the same question. And so I write what my feelings are about it, and Colleen writes hers, and then we exchange and find out the difference. And we've included a feelings list, talked to Brad, and I guess you've put it online with the Jericho Ridge website. And it's a sheet that has, as Colleen said, it's probably 150 feelings on one side of pleasant and 175 of unpleasant. So you can really find out how you feel by looking at the main headings.
And then you can identify how you're feeling, yeah. So Greg was quite satisfied. He was enjoying the journey, and I was completely frustrated.
So what's the next step after that? You write that down, kind of begin to get into that discussion, and then what's step four?
what are my thoughts and what assumptions am I making? So that was step four, and my thoughts were, wow, I don't know how long this is going to take. And my assumptions are, I'm kind of wishing you would have a bit more time to work on this.
And my thoughts and assumptions were, well, this is something that's going to be down for many years, and we want to make sure it looks good, and it's the right one, and it's trimmed the right way, and has to be the right thing. So I want to make sure she's happy and I'm happy. That was my thoughts
and
assumptions.
I'm happy.
So then going through to the next step, you know, once you've got that out on the table.
Yep, what do I see myself doing? So I'm trying very hard to be patient, be very gracious, keep my mouth shut. This too shall pass.
Till I finally realized that I think I'm getting to the end of her tether here. That so 12:30 at night here, I'm hammering nails into the floor and bang, 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 and she's in bed.
That was asleep. That did it. The cart tipped over.
So out comes Colleen from the bedroom.
Thanks a lot to get me mad, but man, I was mad. Still hammering at 12:30 in the morning.
So begin to put that on the table. What do you see in your own responses and patterns? Are you withdrawing? Are you...
Oh, no, then I was fighting. I was fighting then. I'm not fighting anymore.
I was justifying.
He was totally. What is your problem? I'm trying to get this thing done for you.
So then as you're sitting down over lunch and discussing this, what's the kind of the final question that you begin to ask as you put all of those things out on the table?
This is the cherry on top of the cake, because this is how you resolve conflict. What can we do differently to resolve this? That's why he's going to the Yellow Pages instead of to
You betcha. I'll spend the money instead of the heartache.
Indeed. It's fabulous. He realized, I guess it was quite a while. It was a month. And he's thinking, it's not a big deal to me, but it was a big to Greg, but it was a big deal to me. So he's realized when we do home improvements, if it takes a long time, get somebody in to help.
Yeah, Colleen has a story about doing a basement reno back in Ontario with putting in a bathroom. And I had till December 24th to put it in because family was arriving. And I got it done 11:59 on December 24th, just before Santa arrived. You know?
He did. Wow. Yeah.
So we've resolved to talk about it openly at the beginning, and what does it involve, what's your expectations, and kind of lay out the plans. And so I can share the practical aspect of it, the cost, the whether I can or cannot do it, whether we should bring somebody on that's a specialist, etc. And so we kind of lay it out ahead of time, so we kind of track ourselves rather than just go into it blindly.
And these are the kind of things that cause conflict usually in marriages. And we don't really know how to deal with them. We just kind of get through it, and then we stuff it, and there it sits. So this is a tool that we use, as you can see, still now. This only just happened in January. But it's a great tool. It really helps, and then it just opens up the communication to each other, because we're very different and accept each other, and we go on from there.
Well, good. Well, I really appreciate you guys sharing that and appreciate your heart for building strong marriages. One of the things that we've talked about in our leadership team here at Jericho Ridge, and one of the reasons that we're doing this series, is we want to equip and give you some tools to be able to work at and deepen and begin to resolve the inevitable conflicts that come up in each of the relationships that you're a part of, whether marriage or outside of that context. And so maybe, actually, could you guys give us a final piece of advice? Maybe if you were you see people coming through your office a lot and talking to them about these issues, what would be one thing that maybe you could pull out of the things that you've shared today and kind of say, this is sort of a final piece of advice that I want to leave with you here today?
Probably the fact that conflict is inevitable. It's bound to come into our lives regardless what our temperament is. Conflict is going to come into our lives. And know your temperament, know how you can handle interaction and conflictual interaction. And if it needs somebody to coach you, whether a pastor or a counselor or a real close friend that has wisdom, godly counsel, then have that person at the ready, because you never know when issues will come up. It could be a, a sickness in the family, it could be a loss of job, it could be heavy trauma, or it could be a minor issue. But if you have tools in your tool cabinet to be able to deal with conflict rather than avoid it, have some practical tools ready to be able to use when you're in the midst of it.
And I just wanted to say there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says, with the same help that God helps you with, you can help others. So God helped us in our mess, and He is unique to help people in the situation that they are in. And so when people come to see us, we just believe that God specifically is there to help them. He helped us with what we needed, and He can help others, and He is there for us.
Well, that's great. One of the things that you guys brought up for us is that this idea of community around us, both those who can assist and support us, but also our relationship with God, and that really for each of us, we're not smart enough, skilled enough, or humble enough to go through this thing called marriage on our own strength and our own initiative. And so we want to say that here at Jericho, we're here to stand alongside of you in your relationships and in your marriage. We're here to resource you, and our vision and our heart is to see your relationship strengthened to the place that those around you look at you and say, what's going on in your relationship? There's a level of health there that's attractive, that is winsome, that then you can be an example and be an influencer in the lives of those who are around you. And even in the midst of difficulty and challenges, that you've survived and that you've thrived. But you and I can only do that if God is at the center of our lives and the center of our relationships as well. And because you guys talked about, you know, He's the source of the forgiveness that we can extend, and grace and love and mercy that we can extend to one another. So we're just going to wrap up our time together here this morning with a time of reflection and response. And just as we do that, I want you to think about an issue or a dynamic that you may be dealing with that's a conflict, either in your marriage or in a relationship that you have that keeps coming up. And whether it's a bitterness or resentment or fatigue or imbalance or unforgiveness or whatever that might be for you in this particular stage of your journey. And we're going to show a short video that gives you an opportunity to process and reflect on that and some of the things that we've talked about here this morning. Some of the pictures that are presented in this clip go a little bit beyond the boundaries of marriage conflict, but I want you to invite you to picture your particular issue or dynamic on one of these pieces of paper, being written on that piece of paper. And then I'm going to ask Kevin and the team to come up, and we'll close with a song of response. And so this piece is called Love Conquers All.